It's a cold November morning, and I'm outside a free detox center in South Salt Lake. It stands out because it's a modern-looking building in an industrial part of town. Two tired-looking men pace under a heater just outside the center's doors, waiting for a woman to call their names so they can begin detoxing from either alcohol or drugs. This detox program is run by Volunteers of America. Currently, there's 80 beds inside the center. There used to be 60, but since opioid-related deaths have spiked around the country, the center has worked with the state of Utah to reduce the number of square footage required per person so they could add more beds and accommodate more people. Kathy Bray is president and CEO of the VOA in Utah.
Yeah, detox is often the first step in treatment and recovery. For many people, they're so intoxicated at the time when they come to us that they really need some days worth of not using and some increase in water and healthy foods before they can go into a treatment setting where they'll be expected to participate in a group where they might be discussing coping strategies for relapse prevention, things like that. So they need some days before they're ready for the cognitive work, and they need to feel physically better.
The center sees a lot of alcohol-related issues, and that kind of detox usually takes 3 to 5 days. But to safely detox from heroin, it takes 2 or more weeks. Bray says the center has recently introduced medication-assisted treatment for heroin and opioid detox. Before MAT, most opioid users left detox only after 3 days, since opioid detox is among the hardest to go through.
At Volunteers of America's Detox Center in Salt Lake County, we see about 1,500 different people a year, typically like 10 admissions and 10 discharges a day. Of those people, I would think that about 7 or 8 out of 10 do not have the ability to pay.
When dealing with drug addiction, detox, and rehab, money is always an issue. But Bray says they can always accommodate people, regardless if they are able to pay or not.
We use a sliding fee scale. So when somebody comes into the facility, we'll be asking them, you know, are you working? Do you have a job? What about insurance? And we do have a substantial contract or a substantial percentage of our funding is Salt Lake County Behavioral Health. And it is for people who need support in paying for recovery services. So they pay their percentage, and then the county government essentially pays the remainder. For people who don't have any income or any insurance, we can still serve them, and we serve them under the county contract.
Salt Lake County has the resources and manpower to make this happen, but what about rural Utah? What are they doing in, say, Green River? Green River has one medical center, no hospital. There's no doctor and only one physician assistant who is always on call.
The biggest barrier here is the distance we have to nothing. I mean, to the closest help to us is, like I said, 65 miles to Price, that's Castleview Hospital, 54 miles south to Moab, that's Moab Regional, 110 miles to Grand Junction, that's St. Mary's, or Community Hospital. That's one of the biggest barriers here. And then we have, of course, the truly underserved.
Shalisa Hughes is Operations Director at Green River Medical Center. The center is one of the smallest FQHCs, or federally qualified health centers, in the nation. About 35% of their patients are insured, leaving the majority of who they see on a sliding fee payment scale, with some completely unable to pay anything. This is a major issue with opioid addiction because treatment requires a team of people for safe recovery.
Well, opioids and addiction requires like a full array of treatment. It's not just the medical, it's also mental. You have to have both parts.
Another barrier for Green River Medical is not being able to contract with all insurance providers because they don't have a medical doctor, only a PA.
So we take as much insurance as we possibly can. We try to contract with any insurance that will contract with us. We get the major ones here in Green River, but there is a few that, because of those barriers of not having a true MD on site.
With the lack of manpower, resources, and the distance issue, those seeking help for addiction treatment can seem impossible for many of Utah's rural community members. Once when a person who struggles with addiction decides they want help, where do they go? Utah's Attorney General is trying to help.
It's great that that across the front that there are a number of resources, but out in our rural counties, they're being impacted disproportionately more than even maybe not in pure numbers, but in the on the recovery side, which is a key component.
Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes recently co-authored a letter, along with 37 other AGs in the nation, urging health insurance companies to examine financial incentives that contribute to the opioid epidemic. The letter, sent out in September, was addressed to the president of America's Health Insurance Plans, asking for a review of healthcare providers' coverage policies by providing a priority on non-opioid pain management options. This includes non-opioid medication, physical therapy, acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic care.
And if we can get insurance companies, if we can get them incentivized to cover the recovery side, but also to cover and not put up so many barriers to people who want to get less addictive but more costly alternatives to opioid prescription drugs. I, as the Utah Attorney General, have been trying to put a lot of pressure, work with insurance companies to re-examine their comprehensively their coverage protocols and programs.
In October, he sent out another letter to national leaders, including Speaker Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, about the need for federal laws to change to make treatment for addiction more affordable and accessible for Americans who need it most.
In one of the letters that I signed recently to Congress, along with my colleagues for the attorneys general, is to do away with some of the restrictions that exist today because of some arcane rules that we passed 50 years ago to try to curb abuses in the mental health arena, but right now are limiting the a number of people, particularly in rural communities, from being able to get into residential treatment facilities.
Whether it's in rural Utah or downtown in the state's capital, opioids are a complex problem.
It is overwhelming as the epidemic may seem, and it's not to diminish in any way the severity of what we're all facing, but I don't want people to give up hope and feel like there's just too much, it's not worth it, we're never going to be able to get a handle on this, because I think we can see how attitudes change.
And since we started this opioid series a year ago, things are changing. In September, federal health authorities granted 11 health centers in Utah $1.8 million to help increase the amount of substance abuse and mental health services. The Department of Health and Human Services gave some of this funding to Green River Medical Center. For links to the letters from the Utah Attorney General's office about the opioid crisis, go to upr.org. Reporting for Utah Public Radio, I'm Danny Hayes.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.